how many health food stores we've got. I don't care how many programs that we enter into. We're going to die. We're going to get out of this world somehow. And we're not going to die healthy either. We're not going to die healthy. We're going to get old. We're going to get old. We're seeking after the wrong thing. We need to be seeking the blessed God. Not longevity. Don't let this thing become a religious pursuit to us, a means to an end, that somehow we're going to defeat death. Well, the text that I read to you says this: though he live 1,000 years twice told, though he live 2,000 years, yet he hath seen no good, do not all go to one place. Now, though he lives 2,000 years and hath seen no good, that is, he hath not come to see the only true good, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a man came to our Lord one time, young fella, and he said, "Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And our Lord immediately replied to him like this. He said, "Why callest thou me good? There is only one good, and that's the Father in heaven." Now, if a man lives to be 2,000 years old and yet hath not seen the eternal good, he hath not seen the real good, the Lord Jesus Christ, doth not all go to one place? That is, doth not all go to the grave? That's where all of us is going to wind up, is the grave. We're going back to the dust from whence we came. This body, regardless of how vigorous and healthy it is or appears to be, is soon going to be a carnival for worms. These eyes that look upon you will soon, in a few short years, be a place where the worms go in and out. And that's the truth. That one place is the grave. The fountain of youth is a delusive dream. There's no such thing as the fountain of youth. There was a Spaniard one time that came into Florida back in the 1400s. And he, Ponce de Leon, and he, when he went back to Spain, he said he discovered the fountain of youth. He discovered that climate in Florida where the sun shines about all the time, where they have this desirable temperature, where the breeze off of the Gulf of the Mexico and the Atlantic Ocean comes in, cools and soothes, but people die in Florida. More people die in Florida than any place in the country, because that's where old people go. When it gets too cold for them here in this part of the United States, well, they go to Florida. But there's no such thing as the fountain of youth. That's a delusive dream. Though a man live 2,000 years, yet he has seen no good unless his pursuits has enabled him to see God Almighty Himself in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, for He is the only final good. We have the wrong object in our search. We need to be searching and seeking someone else rather than this longevity that this nation seems to be captivated with. We need to be seeking the blessed God. There's a verse that I come across here in the book of 1 Chronicles. Turn there with me, if you will. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Let me call your attention to a few things here in regard to what I've already said about who we ought to seek. We ought to seek the Lord. Now I know, and I hope that I'm not misunderstood here, that don't say, well, the preacher's against exercise. I'm not against those things. That's fine. I'm for exercise. I'm for taking vitamins. I'm for not eating sugar and white flour and all those things. I'm all for that. But when it's all said and done, you're going to die anyhow, and you're not going to die healthy. Now that Pat McGinnis told me one time, he said, "Well, he said he's going to die healthy." No, he ain't going to die healthy. He's not going to die healthy. He's going to die like everybody else. Going down to the grave. Not going to die healthy. I knew what he meant by it when he said it. But I'm not against it. I'm for these things. I'm for these things. But don't let them become a religious pursuit to think that somehow you're going to defeat death. You're not going to defeat death. Concentrate your efforts in another direction. If we'd put all of our efforts that we spend this health business, if we'd put them in this direction, in seeking the Lord, I'm sure, I'm positive we'd be better off. I just know we'd be better off if we'd put all of our efforts in seeking the Lord, not at the expense of reasonable care of our bodies. That's not what I'm saying. Not at that expense, but go in this direction and seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Our only safety is in seeking the Lord. That's where our safety is, in seeking the Lord. Look at this verse, the 19th verse of the first chapter of the book of Chronicles, or the 22nd chapter of the book of 1 Chronicles, verse 19. It says, "Now set your heart and your soul." Set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God unto the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. Now, this is what I want you to see. Now, N-O-W, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. This is what we need to be doing. We need to set our heart and our soul into seeking the right object. And the right object is the Lord God Almighty. Let me say a few words here this morning to those of you that are Christians, that you're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Something happened to you. Something happened to you here, either a short time ago or maybe years ago. Something happened to you. God intervened. He came along and found you and made Himself known to your heart and created a anticipation and anxiety, a desire in your heart to love Him. Something happened to you, and you become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and your life was changed, and you want to follow Him. You've been seeking Him these many years. Well, let me speak to you for just a few minutes here to those who are redeemed, to those who are blood-bought, blood-washed, to the individual that's experienced what Jesus said was, "You must be born again. You've been born again. You have new ideas, new thoughts, new desires, new attitudes. Gone in a different direction than you once. You love now what you once hated and despised. You're different. You're different. God made you different. You're converted. God converted you through the Word and by His Spirit and brought you to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you love Him now, and you worship Him, and you eagerly yearn to be drawn closer to Him. You look for His return. You like to sing praises unto His name. You like to be around where His name is exalted. You the company that you choose are people that are of the same mind that you are. You like to be around them. You're converted. You're saved. Well, seek Him. Seek Him. You're to continue to seek Him until you come to that glorious perfection which belongs to the better world. That's how long we're to do it. How do we seek the Lord? We're Christians, how do we seek the Lord, preacher? Would you tell me? Number one, let me tell you how you seek the Lord. You do it by endeavoring to obey Him in everything. You do it in obeying Him. Obeying Him in everything. Everything. In the service of God Almighty, there is nothing little. In God's service, there's nothing little. Now, he that carelessly offends in little things shall fall little by little. If you carelessly offend, neglect little things, you're going to fall the same way that you neglect these things. You're going to fall little by little. That is, for instance, you say, well, there was a time that I used to read my Bible every day. Every day I read my Bible with delight, with fervor, with enthusiasm. But my time became limited and I just kind of laid it aside and I missed a day now and then. And the first thing you know, there would be a week go by and I'd never open my Bible. Maybe only open it when I came to Wednesday night prayer meeting. And finally I didn't open it at all because I avoided coming to Wednesday night. It was just little by little by little. You see what I'm talking about? When you begin to offend in little things, you're careless in regard to little things. You're going to fall the same way that you offend and are careless. You're going to fall little by little, just step at a time. It doesn't come all at once. You're not just standing up on a pinnacle all at once you fall off. It's not like that. It just comes little by little by little. You see, the dry rot enters the timbers of the house of human character, and when it has silently done its job, the house falls with a shock. The house doesn't fall all at once. You just don't build the house and the next day it topples over. It takes years before the termites. It takes years before the secret, silent, dry rot enters into that house, the timbers of that house, and when it's finally done its job, all at once it falls down and you wonder what happened. Well, you see, it was dry rot. It was dry rot that caused it, but it was a secret. It was a secret, silent, dry rot that finally took its toll. Well, we need to seek the Lord with our heart and with our soul in everything. We need to endeavor to obey the Lord in everything. In the little things as well as the big things. Quit worrying about the obeying the big things until we've first taken care of the little things. Now I know that I talk about this a good bit. I know that and it bothers some folks, but I must say it anyhow, whether it bothers us or not, I got to say it. It will not bother you who are faithfully attending the services of the church and supporting the work by your prayers, your witness, your testimony, and your gifts. It doesn't bother you. You'll agree, but those that are not doing this, it bothers them a little bit because they think maybe I'm picking on them. But I'm not picking on you. I'm not doing that. I'm just trying to warn you and tell you that when you offend in little things, when you start laying out of church and say, well, I don't think I need to go tonight. I, I just don't think I need to go. Somebody else will be there. I don't need to go. And the first thing you know, you lay out tonight, and the first thing you know, well, you say, well, we never go on Wednesday night. If someone comes along, say, well, where what? Aren't you going to church tonight? No, we never go on Wednesday. You used to go on Wednesday night, but you kept missing Wednesday night, and now you got to the place that you're just unconscious of any feelings towards it, and you say, well, we never go on Wednesday night. Sunday night comes around, someone, don't you go to church? No, we never go on church on Wednesday. We used to go. We don't go anymore. We've missed so long that we're not sensitive about it anymore. I'm telling you this under God. Now, I want you to listen to me. Now, I don't want you to get mad at me. Don't want you to get mad at me because, listen, if you had an incurable disease and I was a doctor and you come to me and I had something to help you, you wouldn't get mad at me if I give you a cure, would you? I'm giving you a cure. I'm telling you this morning what the trouble is. Now you just, these little things, how do I seek the Lord? I'm a saved man. At least I think I'm saved. How do I seek the Lord? By endeavoring to obey Him in everything. In everything. Well, preacher, I don't think I ought to have to come to church all the time. You don't have to come to church any if you don't want to. If that's your attitude, don't come at all. But if you're a Christian, if you've been blood-bought, now there's a desire. Listen to me now. There's a desire in your heart to be with the people of God. To be with them and to sing and to hear your King exalted. There's that desire. Now listen, if you just continually avoid these confrontation with the Word, with that which you ought to do on Wednesdays and Sundays and so forth, the first thing you know, this silent, secretive rock has entered into the house of human character that holds you up, and the first thing you know, you fall completely. And that's what will happen. That's what I've seen it. I've seen it in the last 31 or 32 years. I've seen it in men and women that it just slipped in on them, slipped in on them. They left off this, they left off that, and the first thing you know, they left off everything, and the first thing you know, the house fell down. The house fell down. And it didn't happen all at once. It was in a process of time. I'm telling you the truth. That's what'll happen. That's what'll happen. You can't get by with it. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. How am I to seek the Lord? By endeavoring to obey Him. What about the Lord's Supper? What about the Supper of the Lord? How do you consider that? But this eating of the unleavened bread and drinking the wine, our Lord Jesus Christ, He told His people before He left. He said, "Well, we're going to observe something new here." He said the Passover is, I'm the fulfillment of the Passover. We're going to have a new supper, and He took some unleavened bread. And He took some wine, and He gathered His disciples around about Him. And he took that bread and He broke it and gave thanks. And He took the wine and He gave thanks. And he gave the bread to these fellows. He said, "Eat of this bread. As often as you eat of this bread, you show forth my death till I come again." He said, "This do it in remembrance of me. Do it, remember me. Will you do that? Do this in remembrance of me." He took the wine and they drank it. And He said that we ought to do this. We ought to do this. You and I, who are His followers, we ought to do it. From the time that we become His followers until we die, we ought to do this. And never, never get to the place that we forget to do this. Now, how many? You say, "Well, I ain't remembered the Lord. I haven't remembered the Lord in years and years and years and years." That is, in the Lord's Supper. I haven't remembered Him. Well, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to face this now? How are you going to face this? I'm telling you to seek the Lord. How do you seek the Lord? By endeavoring to obey Him. Well, that's just a little thing. The Lord's Supper doesn't save anybody. I know it doesn't save anybody. but it pictures how you are saved. And our Lord said, this do in remembrance of me. Would you look right into the face of that and say, I've got no time for it. I've got no time for it. And there's other things that I've got to do. Let me tell you, the secret dry rot is entering in to the timbers of your character, and the first thing you know, down you go. Down you go. And great will be the fall. You say, well, I wish the preacher... Someone told me one time, I said, well, preacher, you need to teach more. I'm teaching right now. I'm teaching right now. You need to teach more. That's what I'm doing. I'm telling people what the Bible says about practical godliness and Christianity. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm telling you that the Bible says that we're to observe and obey the least precept and command of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to do it. We're not to say, well, I'll take this one and let the other. We're not to do it. We are to endeavor to obey Him in all things. Oh, seek the Lord. How? Alright? It ought to be the main business in the life of every Christian, every believer. His main business ought to be, first, to glorify God and do so by trying in whatever way he can to build up the house of Almighty God. Not tear it down, but build it up. Every time that a man refuses to assemble himself at the house of God in which he's a member and a part of, where the gospel is preached, where the hymns of praise are being sung and prayers are being made, every time that he refuses to do so without any justifiable excuse, just by saying, I've got other things to do, I've got to go here, that's no excuse. I don't care what we come up with, it is not justifiable. There's things that we must deny ourselves. Deny ourselves. You say, well, I've got to go here on Wednesday night. I can't be here. Why can't you be here? Well, this is, I got to do this. Deny yourself doing that. Deny yourself doing that. And get there where you belong. That's where you belong. Is that too hard? I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I'm trying to tell us this morning, we're going in the wrong direction. Well, we're seeking something else. Well, we need to be seeking the blessed God. That's who we need to be seeking. Build up the church. We seek the Lord by building up the church. And we do so with an eye to His glory. Say, well, just let the preacher and a few of his friends take care of it. I don't need to come. Preacher's got three or four people. They're always there. They'll take care of those things. That's a bad attitude. That's a bad attitude. Yeah, I'm sure preacher's got two or three fellas there that whatever he says, they'll do. Don't make any difference, right or wrong. That's a bad attitude. They'll take care of it. God help us. How we do this? I read where it says that this is what we're to do. We're to seek the Lord. That's what he said. Now, how are we to seek the Lord? How? All right, here he tells us. Verse 19, he says, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord. That's how we're to do it. We're to seek Him. How are we to seek Him? With our hearts and our souls. Set your heart to seek the Lord. Set your soul to seek the Lord. A man who serves the Lord, who seeks the Lord, who means business for the Lord, he sets his foot down and he says, I stand here. This is how I stand and where I stand. I have determination. I have resolve and resolution in my determination. Here I stand. You might as well try to move North Pole as to get this man to move from his chosen place. You say, well, there's certain people that come to church all the time. I'll tell you why they come to church all the time. It's not necessarily because they like the preacher, worshiping the preacher. That's not the reason. They love the preacher, certainly. You can't hate anybody to be a Christian. You can't hate people and be a Christian. You can't have an unforgiving, unrelenting spirit and be a Christian. You can't do it. God won't forgive you if you don't forgive others. They don't come. You say, well, why do they come? There's always in every church, there's just a nucleus. There's a handful. They're always there. I'll tell you why they're there. Because they have a determination and a resolve in their hearts that this is my chosen place and I shall not be moved. That's right. That's exactly right. They're not turned aside. They're not turned aside. You say, well, how come don't their children get sick? Don't they have to go on vacations? Don't they have to do this? Don't they have to do all that? But they're not afraid to deny themselves. They'll deny themselves. Why? Because of their object. Their object is to what? Is to seek the Lord. How? With all of your heart and all of your soul. Determination. Listen. Bible says if a man become a Christian, become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, he puts his hands to the plow. That's the way our Lord said it. He said when a man becomes a Christian, becomes a follower of mine, he takes his hands and he gets a hold of the plow handles. And he said he stays with it. He said it's going to be rough. They're going to run into rocks and stumps and stones. But he says he doesn't let go. He holds on even if the animal's dragging. He holds on. He holds on with determination and resolution. He holds on with all of his being. What am I saying? I'm saying we seek the Lord. We seek the Lord. How? With our hearts and our souls, with resolve and determination. That's how we do it. We have intense affection towards God's service and towards the glory of God. I'll tell you this, and you know it's true. A man, irregardless of his station in life, a man never does a thing well if his heart is not in it. He just doesn't do it well. His heart must be in it. His heart must be. I've known fellas, I know fellas right here, works on the job, and their employer thinks that there's no one like them. I can go to talk to certain people and say, well, do you know so-and-so? Yeah, he works for our company, one of the best men we got. One of the best men we got. He's not afraid to work a little overtime. He's not afraid to get there a little early. Because his heart's in it. His heart's in it. That's how we're to seek the Lord. Put our heart into it. Our heart and our soul. You see, a man never does a thing well if his heart's not in it. Success does not come to heartless efforts. You show me a man that's successful in some secular job, and I'll guarantee you that success came 9 times out of 10 because he put his heart and soul into his job. He put effort into his job. Effort. He didn't look at the clock and wait until 4 o'clock. He didn't start out at 12 or 8 o'clock in the morning and kept looking back. I've preached to people that sat in the middle here, and while I'm preaching, every once in a while they'll look back. Look back. Look back. Want to see what time it was. How long is it? Their heart's not in this. Their heart's not in it. Wish he'd quit, like to get home. My heart's not in it. My heart's not there. My treasure's not here. These fellas that are successful in these secular jobs, they don't come on the job and set the clock up in front of them and keep looking up. What time is it? What time? I like it. Success doesn't come to heartless efforts. There is so much in the service to the living God. Listen to me this morning. He will not our God. He will not accept a sacrifice which lacks the life blood of a warm and an affectionate heart. He won't do it. Brethren, nobody, I don't care who he is, nobody is good, nobody is holy by accident. It's on purpose. They've set their heart and soul to one object, to seek the Lord, to seek the Lord. No man ever became holy by chance, don't care who he is. There must be a pining after obedience to God, or else we'll never have it. Never have it. Set your heart and your soul, that's what he says. Never leave you. Never leave your head or your heart home when you come to the house of the living God where the gospel is being preached. But bring your heads and bring your hearts. As our brother said as he prayed, help us to hear every word. Every word. To hear every word. To be alert. To be concerned. To feel that maybe God will speak to me. I told you about the one time about the little boy in Spurgeon's tabernacle. He went with his grandmother. He sat up as close as he could get always. He went to every service that he could possibly get there. And he put his hand behind his ear when Mr. Spurgeon spoke. And put his hand like that. And he just kept moving up on the seat. And kept putting his hand up like that. Then at every service. And finally his grandmother said, John, what do you do that all? Are you hard hearing? He said, no, I'm not hard hearing. But he said, Mr. Spurgeon said, God speaks to man. And he said, I want to hear in case God ever speaks to me. I wish we had that much concern about our souls. I want to hear. If God ever does speak, I want to be in position. I want to have everything clear out of my heart and my mind that I might hear what is said. I might say, speak on, Lord, I hear. Speak on, I hear. Oh, no. God, help us. You ever thought of what an honor it is to be permitted to do anything for God? That's an honor. Do we know who God is? I can't tell God out. I can't do that, but I know this. I know that God is over all and above all. I know that there's no other gods apart from Him. I know that He's the true and the living God. I know that He doeth all things well. I know that He ruleth in the heavens and on the earth and under the earth and in the sea. He ruleth all things. Everything God had His hand upon. He doeth wonderful things. I know that I'm here this morning because of the grace of God. I know that. I know that I owe every drop of blood in my body I owe to God. I owe to God every breath of my lungs. I owe it to God. He's the source, the giver of life, the taker of life. Whatever happiness that I've experienced in this life, I owe to God. I know that. Whatever prosperity I have in this life, I owe to God. I owe to Him. I don't owe it to you. I don't owe it to nobody. I owe it to God. I know that. Have you ever thought what an honor it is to be permitted to do anything for Him? What an honor it is. What an honor, what an honor. Just to be permitted to do something for the God who made all of this and who's on top of all of this. That's an honor. That's an honor. You think it's an honor to do something for your superior sometimes, don't you? You think, well, that's an honor. Here he's three or four steps up the ladder over and above me. He's an executive officer. Here he has condescended, come down three or four levels, and he's asked me if I'd pick up something for him there as I go to town. That's quite an honor that he'd condescend and say something to me. Well, that's an honor. I'd be glad to do it. I'd be glad to do it, mister. Sir, I'll be glad to. Oh, well, is it? No, it's no problem. It's no problem. I'd be glad to do it. That's the way we act. Have you ever thought what an honor it is to be permitted to do anything for God Almighty? What an honor. What an honor. What an honor. For God to bless us is a great condescension on His part. But for Him to permit us to be of any use to Him, for God to permit us to be any use to Him, is far more honor and far more glory than being the President of the United States. More honor in being allowed, more honor for the glory of God to give just a drink of water to some thirsty soul in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. More honor in that than being an emperor of the whole world. That's right. There's more honor. More honor than if a beggar come along, and he said, "I'm thirsty. Could you give me a drink of water?" And you said, "Well, certainly, I've got plenty of water. I give you a drink of water here in the name of the Lord Jesus." More honor in that than is if you could control this whole shooting match. More honor than that. Oh, listen. This honor doesn't lie in the act so much as it does in the motive. And if the motive be, "I did it for the Lord. I did it for the Lord. I give that man a drink of water. I give it to him for the Lord." More honor than that. Oh, my soul. When I think of it, when I think of you and I, here we are, snuggled off, nested up, here in this, between these hills, here in the state of West Virginia, where no one ever heard of us. There's no one ever heard of us, except if you got a few kinsmen, some of your sons and daughters or your cousins or someone left West Virginia, they remember you maybe. Maybe they remember you. Most of them don't. But maybe some of them do. But apart from that fact, nobody knows where we're at this morning, and nobody cares except a few people that love us. That's right. We're nestled, snuggled in a little building here between two hills along a creek down in nowhere in West Virginia. No one knows where that's at. Folks always did tell me, "Where are you from?" I said, "I'm from Fairmont, West Virginia." Wasn't even from there. I was from up a hollow here somewhere, but I knew they wouldn't know the name of the hollow. So I always said, "Fairmont, West Virginia is the nearest town." They said, "How far is that from Richmond?" They don't know where you live. They don't know where West Virginia is. That's right. They all say that. You fellas know that. Yeah. How close is that to Norfolk? That's all they knew was Norfolk and Richmond. Know anything about West Virginia? Here we are. If we be permitted, if we be selected by God, permitted by God to do anything for Him, just the least little thing we could do for Him, what an honor. What an honor. Tell Him what an honor it is for me to be able to preach the unsearchable riches of God's only Son. That's an honor. I wouldn't trade this. I wouldn't trade the honor that God has bestowed upon me. I wouldn't trade for all the riches in the world. Wouldn't do it. Wouldn't even consider it. I'd bring it all in. I'd say, "No need to talk to me. No need to talk to me. My foot's down. You just well move up the North Pole." It's an honor. An honor. Oh, what an honor it is for you and I, not only to serve the Lord, but to seek the Lord. And we ought to seek Him with our hearts and with our souls, with an intense affection in our heart for His glory and for service to His name. What I'm saying is this. I'm saying put all your weight and all your influence in your religion. That's what I'm saying we do when we seek the Lord with all of our hearts, or with our hearts and our souls, our whole life. Put your whole life into it. Your whole life. Everything. The whole perspective of life. Put it into it. Put it in here. Put all your eggs in one basket. Now, outside interest, you haven't got no interest there. Your interest is here, Christ Jesus. Your interest is in the claims, the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where your life is. Anything that I can do, anything that I'm permitted to do, regardless of how small and insignificant that it might be or appear to be, if it can be done for His honor and for His glory, Lord, help me to do it. Help me. Help me be the first to volunteer. Let me stand in line. Put your whole weight, put all your influence. That's what He means. Don't be like the man who asked the little girl at Sunday school one day. He said to the little girl, he said, is your dad a religious man? And she said, yes, sir. My father has religion, but he's not done much about it lately. He's got religion, but he hadn't done much about it lately. Don't let that be said of you. Put your whole heart and soul and mind and body and spirit into your religion. All of it. Huh? Listen, if you follow Him, follow Him. Do it fully. Do it 100%. If you mean to be a Christian, be a Christian. If not, chuck it all and forget about it and go your way. Take your chance. Take your chance. When am I to do all this? Well, it says here, set your heart, that's how we do it, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord. When am I to do it? Alright? When am I to do it? There's a little word here which comprehends every day in the week. And that little word is N-O-W. Now, right now. This morning. 5 minutes after 11. Right now, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Right now. Right now. If we knew how short or how brief our time is, how this would quicken us to seek the Lord. If we could roll the thing back and look down the list in alphabetical order and look under the R there. Richardson, lots of them. Scott Richardson. Time of expiration. I can see the very day, the very second that I went out of this world. That'd quicken me. That'd quicken me. Would quicken you? I believe it would. We'd be up and doing, wouldn't we? We'd be seeking the Lord if we knew that. Well, all right. I said all that to those that are blood bought. Blood bought. Set it for your good. Set it for the glory of God. All right. Let me say something now, lastly, to those that are not converted. You're not converted. You're not on the rock of ages. You stand on sinking sand. If the storm comes, you're going to perish. Let me say something to you. Well, set your hearts and your souls to seek the Lord. Your God. Do that. Well, set your hearts 100% on true religion. Don't be content with the outward form of religion. Outward form of religion. Don't be content in seeking that. I know most people, unconverted people, believe that if I could be baptized, well, that'd take care of things. I believe I ought to be baptized. Didn't I tell you about a fellow stopping here not so long ago and come over here and talk with me a while, him and his wife, and one morning he said, Would you go to Mannington and talk to my mother? And I said, well, what's her problem? She said she's a Christian, and I said, well, how long has she been a Christian? Well, she's been a Christian for a long time. I said, where does she go to church? Well, she don't go to church. She hadn't been to church for years, but she's getting old, he said, and she's kind of sick-like, and she's been talking about being baptized. Would you go talk to her about being baptized, and maybe you'd baptize her? And I said, well, I don't think that it'd be any use for me to go and talk. But I said, because you're a friend of mine, I said, I'll go talk to her. And I went up to Mannington, climbed up on that hill, and listened to her husband talk about what a good man he was and how brave he was and all of that and how everybody was against him. And finally his wife crept in and she got to say, well, what do you think about baptizing me sometime? I said, why should you be baptized? Well, I think everybody ought to be baptized. I said, you got to have a better reason than that. And so I just dismissed it and come on home. She thought, she's seeking the outward form. See? Seeking the outward form of it. If I could be baptized, or if I could join that church, things would be all right. No, no. Well, I say this to the unconverted from this verse of Scripture. Set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, not an outward form of religion. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Don't be content with the outward form of it. Here in 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 19, let me give you the setting here. David, King David, he was about to die, and he gathered these faithful men around his bed, and he urged them to build the temple. God had already told him, said David, you're a good man and all that, but said you've killed a lot of people, you've shed a lot of blood, and said you're not going to build the temple. You're not going to build the temple. You're not going to have a hand in that. You've shed too much blood in your lifetime. But he said, your son Solomon, I'm going to let him do it. And David said, well, if I can't build a temple, I'll gather the materials wherein those that are going to build it might build it. So he gathered the men around him here. And he urged them to build the temple. Now, David knew that the temple building was not everything, although he valued it very highly. He knew something better than the temple. See, he said, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Seek Him. You build a temple, but seek God first. That's where it says. It's not in outward form. It's not in the temple, see? Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God to bring the ark of the covenant to the Lord, the holy vessels of God, unto the house that is to be built in the name of the Lord. But seek the Lord, set your heart and your soul upon seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord. Outward service. That's not where it's at. It's in Him. It's in the Lord. By all means, then, if you're unsaved, by all means, attend a church where the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is being preached, where the truth's being told. Attend that church. And listen, be eager to hear every word that's said. But there's no salvation in your attending. There's no salvation in your carrying your Bible. There's no salvation in baptism. There's no salvation in any good work that you might perform. I don't care how good you are. I don't care if you quit your being mean, you quit this, you quit that, and quit everything else, and start loving your children, loving your husbands, and coming to church and singing. There's no salvation in your good works. No, sir. Salvation is only to be found. Salvation lies outside of these things. It lies outside of yourself. Fly away to the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek the Lord. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. There is such a person as the Lord Jesus Christ. There is. Bless God, He is a real person. He's as real as I'm real this morning. He walked here upon this earth. The Lord Jesus Christ was born of a woman, a virgin woman. And He experienced everything that you and I experienced under the law, and He magnified that law. Magnified it. Kept it perfectly. Not for Himself, but He kept it for His people. He went to the cross and He died there, not for His sins, He had none. He died for the sin of His people, in order that He might pay their debt and make them accepted in the Beloved. He freely gave them His righteous life. And He was killed, he was dead, he was buried, and he was resurrected, and he lives right now on the right hand of God, seated on a throne, and he's a king, and that's where he is right now. And he grants repentance and faith to men and women who are brokenhearted and who call upon him. He grants them his salvation. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. It's in the Lord. It's in the Lord. It's not in you coming to church. You ought to come. It's not in you reading your Bible. You ought to read your Bible. It's not in baptism. You ought to be baptized if you're a believer. It's not in your good works. It's not in your good attitudes. It's not in your good intentions. It's not in your resolutions. It's in Christ. Christ alone is the Savior. Listen to what he said. He said, I'm the door. I'm the door. I'm the door. You know what a door is? You know what a door is? When you got up this morning and you went out of the bedroom, you opened the door. When you went into the bathroom, you opened the door. When you went into the closet there to get a towel out, you opened the door. When you went out to the kitchen to get a cup of coffee, you opened the door and got your cup. When you got ready to come to church, you opened the door. And then you went out and opened the door of your car. And then you come up here and you opened the door of your car again. And then you opened the door. Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm the door. If any man enter in, from the door you enter in. Salvation's entering in. I'm the door. Enter in. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. The keynote of the gospel is from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Are you prepared to die? Huh? Are you prepared to die? Let me give you an illustration and I'll quit. Man goes to a restaurant. Like I do sometimes, but don't do all this, don't have the money. Man goes to the restaurant and he sits down and he orders wine. That's the first, you go in these elaborate restaurants, that's the first thing they ask you. Will you have a cocktail first? Would you have your cocktail? And they cost a lot of money. I'm sure $4 or $5. Would you have a cocktail? No, I don't believe I'd take up a coffee. Well, what about some wine? No, I don't believe I want any. Don't misunderstand me now. I'm not saying that if a man takes a drink of wine that sends him to hell. That's not what I'm saying at all. Just giving you an illustration here. I'm saying that sometimes a fella goes into the restaurant and they say, well, do you want some wine? He said, yes, I'll take some wine. What's the best wine you've got? Well, it's so and so. Well, I don't care about the price. I want a glass of that wine. So he gets that wine, and then they bring the menu to him, and he gets the most expensive thing on the menu, and there's no luxury that he denies himself in this restaurant. He doesn't deny himself anything. He gets everything he wants. Gets him a big cigar at the end of it. Great big cigar. Begins to smoke that cigar. By and by, the man comes along and lays the check down. Puts the bill down right before him. And he says, I never thought of that. Well, I never thought of that. I never thought of that. How much is that? He looks down there, maybe it's $100. Well, I never thought of that. Now, here's a man. He's either a born fool or an out-and-out crook, one of the two. He never thought of the day of reckoning of accounts. Never thought of it. He's a born fool or he's a crook. Well, I'll tell you this. One day, the books will be open. The books will be open. God's going to open His books. And the day of reckoning and the day of accounts is going to be called in. You're going to say, I never thought of that. Well, I never thought of that. Well, I've just been living as if this had never happened. It didn't deny myself any luxury, anything. I never thought that there would be a day of reckoning. There's a day of reckoning. There's a day of reckoning. It may be sooner than you think. Jesus said one time about seeking the Lord, this is what he said. He said to some people, he said, there'll come a time you'll seek me, but you won't find me.
He said, there'll come a time that you'll seek me, but you won't find me. And what's going to happen? You'll die in your sins.
That passage of Scripture in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 28 and 29, was not put there as an afterthought. Where it says, I stretched forth my arm and no man regarded. I called and you refused. And when calamity comes upon you and you call upon me, he said, I won't hear you. He said, I'll laugh and I'll mock. One day God's going to laugh and God's going to mock when calamity comes upon some of us. We're going to seek him. We're going to seek him. But it'll be too late and we'll die in our sin. Listen to what I'm saying now. Now. N-O-W. Seek the Lord now. Now. While it is yet day. For when night or darkness comes, no man can work. Seek him now. Seek him now when you got when your intelligence is when you got a good mind. Don't wait until you're 75 and got hardening of the arteries and you can't think straight and you don't know which day it is and the only thing is you can remember something that happened 70 years ago. Now! 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 Young man, young woman, now! Right now! I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you seek the Lord. Now! Right now. Seek him with all your heart. Now. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.